You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
You can start making your way back to your seat, and we'll begin in just a couple moments. I guess you could say we are continuing Pastor Louis' series on identity when we're talking about who am I becoming. So we'll be looking at that in a couple minutes. How's the coffee today?
Good.
Delicious. All right. I did hear from Louis and Joni yesterday. They are relaxing and enjoying their time. Looking forward to coming back home, sort of. Generally on about the sixth day when Peggy and I are away somewhere, I last about six days and I'm ready to go home. It's like, I don't care where I am. I want to go home. I think I'm a homebody. Louis did say he missed his bed. How many of you miss your bed when you're gone? Yeah. Who am I becoming? One of the phrases, it's been around for quite a while, and you're probably familiar with it. We got slides? Good. Okay. This morning, Peggy's going to be helping on the second half of this teaching, so we're looking forward to that. As we were walking from the parking lot up, you know how the doors on the front are like mirrors, and you can see yourself walking, right? Ever notice that? Peggy said, we're starting to look like two old people walking up here. So who are we becoming, you know? We're becoming the little old people. And that's okay. I embrace the seasons of life. There's some people that don't want to get... It seems like when you're young, you want to get old. If you've ever been 14 and wish you were 20, or 15 and wish you were 16 so you could start driving, and then you get to be 18 and you wish you're 21, and then I don't know when it quits going that way and starts going, man, I wish I was 40 again or something like that. Anyway, when Peggy says, we're starting to look like two old people walking, I said, that's okay. We're both a piece of work. And we are a piece of work. And that's what I want us to think about this morning, that God is working on us. Usually when somebody says, oh, that person's a piece of work, they are messed up, right? So can we start off by saying, I'm a piece of work, you are a piece of work. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are a piece of work. Okay? And if you don't have anybody near you, you can point at me and say, I am. But the good part of that is we are God's workmanship. We're the piece of work that God is working on, and that's what makes it so absolutely wonderful. We are God's piece of work. Job 10:8 says, your hands have made me and fashioned me. We're not haphazardly just trying to find our way through life. God has formed us by his hands. In the book of Psalms, it says, you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God knew us from before. He knows us now. He'll know us for eternity. He's been working on us from eternity that way. And you think about that a little bit and you say, wow, God really does care about me. He loves me and he's working on me. God's plan from the beginning of time that each of us would, what? Be conformed to the image of his son, Romans 8:29. One of the most key scriptures to be reminded of, that we be, God's will is that we become conformed to the image of his son. Who am I becoming? Hopefully I'm becoming more and more like Jesus all the time. It's a process. We don't get saved and all of a sudden our sanctification work is done and we are holy and wonderfully perfect. We are holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. but his work continues in us. And that's something that we can say, thank you, Lord, that you don't give up on us, that we're becoming more and more like you in every area of our life. Now, one of the example or illustration that we're going to talk about this morning is one theme of the potter and the clay, which illustrates the relationship between God as the potter and us as the clay, is a very familiar one. It's a familiar analogy. It's used in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah and in the New Testament. So the idea of the potter and the clay is one that's probably not, that is probably very familiar to you. We say, okay, I'm a piece of clay, and God is the potter, and he's working. How many of you have ever worked with clay, like with your hands? Okay, a few. You know, you get that job of clay, and you have in your mind what you're going to do, probably what you're going to make. Or I remember I was in wood shop one time, and we were using the lathe, and I was going to make a lamp. The problem was I had no idea what it was going to look like. I just started cutting away. Well, God just doesn't start cutting away on us. He knows, and he shapes us. Isaiah 64 says, "Now, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay. You are the potter, and we are the work of your hands." So we say, I'm a piece of work, and God is the one that's working on me. He alone has the design. He has the blueprint, and he has the power to shape us according to his plan. Now, hopefully that is comforting to you, because if you know God, you know that he is love and that he loves you. It would be difficult if you were entrusting your life into somebody you weren't sure if they loved you or not. You just weren't sure. Are there shadows? Does he really have an alternate plan to hurt me? That's why it's so important for us to know God and to know of his love for each one of us. He loves us. He's not going to jerk us around. Yes, there'll be difficult times in our life, but the difficult times in our life are part of God's process of shaping us. So to be confident of his love is vitally important. We can trust in God and his work in our lives. Jeremiah 29, another one of those familiar scriptures that says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God thinks about us, and he's not thinking, how can I mess you up? He's thinking about how can you lead a blessed life in relationship to him. So knowing God and knowing that God loves you and you can trust him, that can release you from fear to willingly become submitted to the work of God in your life. I can be absolutely confident. That's something that Peggy and I, in our marriage relationship, we've been married 54 years, and let me divert just for a second. There were times early in our relationship that she started getting a little, I would call it weird. It was like, and I said, what's the matter? I said, well, I don't know. I'm just suspicious. Well, the reason was because she had come from a family where there was infidelity. And she was familiar with that. And so there were times where she would think, uh-oh, Louis headed in that direction or is there. And it was very unsettling. And I'd look her in the eye and say, you can trust me. There is no messing around. I'm going to be and am faithful to you. Nobody else is interesting to me. Well, maybe interesting, but I'm not going to pursue anything. And so it's taken time for her to say, okay, those things that so damaged shaped her in terms of what she saw growing up in her life, to be able to say, okay, I can trust Louis that he's not going to do what I've seen happen. And we coming to God and saying, God, can I really trust you? Because I've been hurt in my life by other people. And to put our whole trust in someone can be risky. But to put our trust in God is not risky, because he absolutely loves us and cares for us. Absolutely. So that can free us from fear. It can break bondages that we've had in our life and can help us grow, like total trust. I trust Peggy 100%. And you trust me 100%. And then so far, we've been trustworthy of each other for 54, and we're planning on the next however many years God would grace us with. God is our Father. He makes us. He is the potter. He's the one who shapes us. We are the clay. Man was originally created. I love this. In the Garden of Eden, or before the Garden of Eden, when God created man, it says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. This word that's used here, where it says that the Lord God formed the man of the dust, this word has the same meaning as to mold, or just like a potter. So you can see in the very beginning in Genesis, where God takes the dirt of the ground, and that begins the forming potter's work of creating mankind. And he created Adam, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and now he continues to be the potter in the lives of all those who trust in him. I love that, to see that beginning point of the potter's work in our lives. He continues to have the capacity to shape us because we're a piece of work, and he is constantly working on us. Now, if we decide to take the clay out of the potter's hand, we're on our own. And that's not a wise thing to do, but I think all of us probably have done that at one time or another in our lives. Say, God, thank you. I'm glad that you love me, but I have other things I'd rather be doing, so I'll check in later, or maybe I'm not. I'm out of here. I'm going my own way, and I'm going to do my thing. And God says, I'm here. And we can really mess things up. I would ask for a show of hands to say, how many have really messed things up in your life at some point in your life? But I'm not going to do that, because everybody's hand will go up. Okay, go ahead. How many of you have messed up in your life? Okay, I'm in a good group of people. We are all a piece of work, right? And God welcomes us and welcomes us as we return. The only way to discover God's unique plan in our life is to submit to him and say, God, have your way in me. I want to become who you want me to become. I love what you shared, Matt, about acknowledging, saying, I know who I am. Maybe I'm quirky. Maybe I'm a gamer. The potter made me that way, so I'm going to go with it. That's beautiful. That's a perfect picture of what we're talking about. God, you're forming me. He doesn't form me like anyone else. Each one of us is unique. And to be able to say, or the problem is at times we compare ourselves to other people. You know, I want to be like him, or I want to be like her. And I say, well, no, wait, you be who God's making you to be. And that was a great illustration of that, to say, God, who are you making me to be? And let me be all that I can be in Christ. The clay of a person's life, yielded wholly to the loving hands of the master potter, finds being shaped, my life being shaped and made into something beautiful and full of use to God. There's a song, Something Beautiful, Something. How's it go? Something Beautiful. Why don't you sing it for us? It says God can take a wreck and make something beautiful out of it. Beautiful in his eyes. Scripture in Ephesians, I love this, where it says, we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I've taught a whole message just on that scripture, just I love it. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ for good works. In Christ, he created us and says, "I now, as I create you and as I work with you and as I form you, I have some good things for you. I've already prepared them for you, so you just walk them out." And I think Matt's example, too, would be another one. I've got some games I want you to play and get good at and share with other people, and you'll see how kingdom life begins to surface, because that's who you are. See, the kingdom, the life of Christ surfaces in us when we are yielding to the shaping hand of God. It just comes out. Why? Because that's who we are. Now, if we're trying to be somebody else, it can be very awkward. You know, God is always working with you. Like this morning when Christopher said, "Okay, and for communion, Louis, right?" I'm going, "No." And the Lord said, "Be ready in season and out of season." And so, and you've heard Louis say it probably, if you don't know what to say, limit your words. Or, and another example like this morning, well, then just open your mouth and start talking, and God will put in your mouth what he wants you to say. So I had an example. I'm going, I don't know what to say. I have no idea. Oh, this is the time where people will share something that God's doing in their life and then welcome people to communion. Okay, what's God doing in my life? Well, he showed me how impatient I am. He showed me how he's working in areas where I need to grow in love. And so that's kind of what I shared about. And it's that kind of thing where you realize, God, that was a dirty trick. Not a dirty trick. That was a trick. I didn't see the email. I should have been ready and I would have had something prepared. But since I didn't get a pass. He said, "Go, open your mouth, and I will fill it." Thank you, Lord. I want to conclude my part of this morning with this. God's ongoing commitment to us. A couple minutes ago, I said, how many of you would say, "I've messed things up in my life"? And it was pretty unanimous. The rest of you are just not totally truthful, but that's okay. And you probably had relationships where if you've let somebody down or did something stupid, they say, "I don't want anything to do with you anymore. It's done. See ya." And probably some of us have experienced that. And that can carry over to our relationship with God, because we do disappoint him. We do quench the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says this, and I go, I'm hesitant. I don't yield to the voice of the Spirit like I should. Or when I have opportunity, I've heard the Lord say, "Go talk to that person." And I say, "I don't want to." You know, in our gymnasium where Peggy and I work out, there's this precious lady. But the coach will say, "This is what we're doing, and everybody's supposed to do it and work hard." And he was saying to her about, we do cardio boxing. "You got to hit this bag and hit it hard and keep hitting it." And she said, "I don't want to." It was so funny. "I don't want," just like a little kid, a spoiled little kid. "No, Mom, I don't want to." But I think sometimes we do that with God, where he prompts us and says, "Come on, I want you to ask for forgiveness. I want you to confess that you were in the wrong, that you were irritable, that you said the wrong thing. I don't want to. I don't want to admit that I was wrong. I don't want to admit that I blew it. I don't want to admit that I let my emotions run wild and you were the target of that, and I'm sorry." We resist that kind of stuff. But instead, we can say, "Lord, I know it's part of your work in me. I need to do what you tell me to do." Scripture's about God's ongoing commitment to me, to us. "And I am sure that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ comes back. He will continue working with each one of us until he returns. No ifs, ands, or buts. There's no except in these cases. Read the fine print. There's no fine print with God. It's all clear right up there. He who began a good work in you will continue it. You continue with him. Be confident. Be convinced, assured. Be certain of what God has commitment. What God has begun in you, he will continue. Don't give up. God won't. He writes in Thessalonians, he who calls you is faithful and he will do it. He's faithful. He's not going to quit, not going to give up. 2 Timothy 1 says, I know in whom I have believed and I am persuaded that he is able to keep all that I have committed to him into that day. He is faithful. He's going to keep working. Hallelujah. As God shapes us, we are directed to help shape others. And the primary area of our duty to not only be shaped by God, but be an influencer and shaper of other people, our primary responsibility is for our kids, for our children, people that we're close to. But kids are the most important. He gives them to us. What a gift of God. And then he says, okay, train up a child in the way that he should go. With us to be the forerunner. We are God to our kids until they are old enough to know God. In the way of oversight, care, love, the way that we deal with our kids, we want it to be the way that God deals with us. So that as they grow, they don't have trouble embracing the reality of God because they've seen God lived out, not flawlessly, but as well as we can through the lives of mom and dad. Amen? So I don't know a better person to talk about that than Mrs. Peggy Locke. Okay, here we go. Let's welcome Peggy.
Could you make sure this isn't on?
Okay? I will try. I'm a piece of work, but I'll try.
Let me get up here.
Try that.
Thank you, darling.
Does that work?
Hello.
Okay.
Good morning. Hallelujah. Last week, I taught Sunday school, preschool age. There were 10 kids. If it weren't for Addie being in there to help me, I would have just gone crazy. Because I had a little mixture of class, not just all the preschool age, but I had little O'Nelia in with me. And she's a little bit younger, a little bit feisty, but she wanted to be in with her sister, her older sister, Kaya. And so I was thinking, how am I going to gather these kids together? How am I going to really connect with them? They were all going in different directions, you know, and I hadn't really started any lesson. And I'm just looking at them, and they're jumping here and throwing things over here. And I'm just, oh, God, I know the material, but how do I get them to listen to me, you know? I don't want to yell at them. O'Nelia climbs up on the top of this, like, slide thing, and she looks at me, eye-to-eye contact, and she says, na, 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 na. I think she's singing Waves of Mercy, and I started singing with her. And pretty soon, all the kids started singing and turning towards me. And it's like I had them for about 10 seconds. But the song of the Lord in that little one that, Chris, you have taught her in Little Lights, connected those kids. Singing makes a difference. So because of O'Nelia and because my training with O'Nelia went so well, we were going to have a couple of the great-grandsons over for the whole morning. And I thought, the first thing I'm going to do is turn on the music. Steve Green, Hide 'Em in Your Heart. And the kids walked in and they sat down to eat, because that's what they do. They come over and they eat about every 2 hours. And Brody just kind of looked at me. That's my song. That's my song. And it was Train Up a Child in the Way He Should Go. And he said, that's my music. And they started singing along. And I thought, there's something so beautiful about song and teaching and training your children. So I'm here to talk to you this morning on the tail end of Louis about how we can affect and influence our children, and not just our children, but the children that are in our lives, whoever they may be. The Bible tells us in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And this is our heart, to know that our kids and their kids and the generations to come are walking with Jesus and walking in truth. It's in their relationship with God that they will know their true identity in Christ. Who am I? Well, from the time they were babies, our 4 little boys, we told them, you're a lock. God loves you, and so do we. And we're not going to give up on you. And there are rules to live by in our house, because you're a lock. And the rules come from the Bible. And so we tried to train our children from the time they were very, very little to love God, to worship him. But we had to model that. We brought them to church. We didn't just drop them off. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. We are directed by God to shape our children, to train them in the way that they should go. To love God, like I said, to worship him, to teach them manners, respect. Learn to listen and obey. And kids need to practice what they've been taught. Teaching them to respond and obey the very first time takes a lot of love, patience, and consistency on our part. It could save their life. If you call their name, Joel, and they stop before they run out into the street and are hit by a car. You know, we have dogs that we're still trying to train. And the dogs will just take off. One of them, Bella. Lady wouldn't do this. But Bella will just get that look. And she, we got a runner. And you call her name, and she's, after 3 years, she's finally stopping and looking back and deciding, well, do I want to go back? And she's starting to obey. She's starting to listen. But it's taken 3 years. And with our kids, it's going to take a whole lot longer. But keep at it, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. Train them up. Teach them to obey and listen for your voice. It could save their life. Hallelujah. A couple of weeks ago, we had the unique pleasure of taking a couple of our younger grandsons camping with us. We've always loved camping, and we took our boys up in the mountains and go fishing and hiking and biking and playing in the water and playing with the dogs and sitting around the campfire. And We love to do it with our grandkids whenever we can. But it's not just about fishing line and how to put it on, or how to bait a hook, or clean a fish. It's about passing on valuable life lessons to the next generation whenever we have opportunity. So sitting around the campfire at night, talking about the day, telling them stories about when their dad was little or when their uncles used to go camping. And remember Uncle Louie, how he used to just lay in the hammock and read a book. If the fish weren't biting, he'd rather read a book. Things that would encourage conversation. How could we have done that differently? Whatever happened today? Johnny, when we were in the boat and you were casting and you were thinking about only of yourself catching that fish, how could you have done that differently? The way we did it, you caught the hook on Papa's nose and he had to scream. And Grammy had to take the pliers and pull it out. How could we have done that differently? To be better listeners. But those are opportunities for us to share with our kids, our grandkids, around the fire, those family values. God calls us to train our children in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And that requires something of parents and grandparents when those kids are in our care. Like teaching, instructing, correcting, loving, encouraging, building them up with our words and not tearing them down. Having positive facial expressions. Did you know kids can read you like a book? If they see a scowl or an eye, whatever, they know something's up. How wonderful to be smiled at by someone who loves you. To practice smiling. Come on, let's practice right now. Everybody take a smile. Come on. It's not fake. When a little one is looking at you, want them to see a grump, and they'll call us grandpa and grandma. Well, it's only by God's amazing grace that we've survived parenting four sons at all. But we've learned that when children learn to listen and obey their parents and their grandparents, they will learn to listen to God and respond to Him when the time comes. We had some friends several years ago who also had children, same time we did, but they decided they wanted their children to choose their own beliefs, their own religion, have their own values. And where do you think that took them? Kids need parents that will love them, listen to them, instruct them, correct them if needed, and discipline them in a loving way. Character matters. Family values are important. When we train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it. He will remember. He will remember. And if you've done your part as best as you can, though we make so many mistakes, God has His hand on those children. Pastor Louie had a one-minute Devo on Facebook this week that I thought was great. Anybody listen to it? It was, he said, we will reproduce what we are and what we do, not what we say. If we're going to carry out Jesus' command to go and make disciples, we must first model that in our life ourselves. Let's model our identity in Christ to the generations to come. We're a piece of work, We've all admitted that. But God is the potter. And we are the clay. And we're still in process in becoming who God has called us to be. But we're an essential part of the God shaping in our children. You know, Pastor gave us a really neat book. I had bought this, Margaret Feinberg, one of my favorite people and authors, God's Power in Me, 52 declarations and devotions for kids that you can interact with parents. But it's helping kids find their identity in Christ. And this was a gift, a congregational gift at Christmas that Louie encouraged us to take home and to read it. And I've kept it in our sauna. And so whenever I go in our sauna and I sweat, I read some good declarations. And the lies the enemy would tell, you know, the truth of God's word just overpowers it all. I have a little sheet of paper that I put together, ways to love your children. And so all the scriptures that God has impressed me with over the years, I've written out for whoever would like a copy at the end of service. But we want to thank you for this opportunity that we've had to be able to share. And I would like to pray a special blessing that Pastor Louie has prayed over you so often for all of us. Out of Numbers 6:24, the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.